November, and we now have hit December.
Mayfield is sacked. T.J. Watt.
We've only got 10 guys on the field. They're down and 7. This one is launched for McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
All right, you hear Terry McLaurin, obviously, Joe Buck, Monday Night Football, Week 3 there, and as well a T.J. Watt play and sack coming back on the top of the hour return. And that's where we wanted to get into next. We can continue to talk about this top 10 list. We can continue to kind of chew and debate. We're going to get into the Nationals a little bit more, certainly, than we did. We just kind of wet the whistle, if you will. In the first segment of the show, we're going to get into the NBA draft. There's a fairly big story going on in the NBA draft that I want to make sure we don't forget about. But it is interesting, and it does throw what might happen tomorrow night into a little bit of a loop. Of course, we'll have special NBA draft coverage coming up from Capital One Arena. Linnell Willingham will be on site on both the Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan tomorrow night as the Wizards are on the clock at number 6 and number 18. So we don't want to forget about that. But first, here's what I wanted to get to. David Hellman, and I know Kevin Sheehan brought this up, so hat tip to Kevin and Mad Max for tipping me off to this. David Hellman, longtime Dallas Cowboys writer for DallasCowboys.com. Now apparently he works for FoxSports.com, but is considered and labeled in his bio as still a Dallas Cowboys writer for FoxSports.com, but then his subheading is also as an NFL reporter. So just saying that for background. Clearly, he's going to write about more than just the Cowboys, but a concentration on the Cowboys. So he wrote about this unhappy veteran, okay, and using basically a mini camp holdout as the reason why he's determining, in addition to contract situation, what have you, a unhappy veteran mini camp holdout proposed trade or landing destination to solve the problem for both the player, the current team, and to help, presumably, a new team. So what we have here, and this is from FoxSports.com, is he says Miami Dolphins cornerback Jalen Ramsey winding up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, I'll get into some of that. That makes some sense. I think the Bucs certainly, we know they're a contender. We know they win the division pretty much every year in the NFC South. And they were really, really, really beat up in their secondary last year. And they are thin at corner. That could make a lot of sense. He also wrote about the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson and perhaps them spinning him to the Carolina Panthers, right? Panthers got rid of Brian Burns a couple of years ago. They have had a pretty good defense under Jairo Avero, their young defensive coordinator who everybody seems to love. And they have kept themselves afloat, and certainly that could make some sense, right? That's a team with some money, and it's a team certainly with need. They also go Jonnu Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, that makes some sense from the Miami Dolphins. The Steelers, Aaron Rodgers certainly could use, a nice fit in Arthur Smith's system. Jonnu Smith had a re-breakout year last year. He's always been good, but depending on usage, depending on situation, some nagging injuries, he hasn't quite kind of like moved into that, I guess, that level, if you will, that people think of when it comes to premier tight ends. And I'm not calling him a premier tight end, but he clearly had his, you want to call it a breakout year? Okay, fine, whatever. But he clearly had a much better year last year than what was anticipated. And that brings us to this. Terry McLaurin last year, as we've talked about a number of times, had 13 regular season touchdowns and 3 more in the postseason, 1 in each game. So he had 16 overall in 20 games. And yet there were questions, especially early in the year, hey, Cliff Kingsbury can't figure out how to use Terry McLaurin. Cliff Kingsbury is not getting him targets, not getting him the ball, is not this, is not that. I thought that was a little bit of hogwash because I was there in Tampa. And if Jaden Daniels can pull the string on one long go route early in the third quarter out of the halftime break, we're talking about a completely different narrative. Terry smoked the corner from Tampa, speaking of corners from Tampa. And Jaden overthrew it. But Terry had him beat. Terry should have probably had at least a very long gain, if not a long touchdown, right? So everybody got convinced that, A, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know how to design an offense. And then the narrative became when they actually figured out, oh, okay, they do know how to design an offense. It's how do they get Terry unstuck from being primarily just on the left side? And you remember and you heard that play-by-play highlight coming back in from week three in Cincinnati. Terry McLaurin lined up on the right side. I don't know, Joe Buck didn't really mention that, but if you remember that play, and how could you not? That's where Terry was. So we know Terry skipped minicamp. We know Terry's reportedly not happy. And we know that the Commanders basically are stuck in a pickle here in that they and probably the rest of the NFL view Terry McLaurin as a lesser player than what the market, says he should be paid. Again, that doesn't mean that he's not a good player. That doesn't mean that they don't value him or appreciate him. But the market speaks one thing, and reality often speaks another thing. And that's probably the difference between the two sides right now. And it's quite honestly the difference between Trey Hendrickson. The market speaks $37 million for Trey Hendrickson, roughly, after Myles Garrett got his $40-plus million. That's what the market speaks to. But in reality, and I think the Bengals are right here, and I think the rest of the NFL would also, in pretty much harmony, although they won't say it, probably 30 teams in the NFL would say, hey, you know what, Trey Hendrickson's a great player, man. Love to have him. Seems like a good dude, hard worker, all that. Turned himself from fourth-round pick into this, 17 and a half sacks a year. Yet the market says he's $37, $38 million. We think he's $32 million. We think he's $31 million. Somewhere in that range. That's what the market doesn't, that's where the market screws you, okay? Is one team decides to establish a thing, a price point, and then everybody wants the same or wants it to be built off of that. When in reality, a guy like Terry McLaurin, a guy like Trey Hendrickson, they are worth a lot of money. They are. But they're probably not worth what the market is essentially dictating or says or puts the parameter on. And certainly the agent uses that to their leverage and their position, right? I can guarantee you that's what's happening with Terry McLaurin's agent. I can guarantee you that's what's happening with Trey Hendrickson's agent. And I can guarantee you that's what's going to happen and what is happening with TJ Watt's agent. More on him in a sec. But in this FoxSports.com piece, again, using training camp holdouts, or I should say mini camp holdouts and contract situations to basically declare a guy disgruntled or not happy. David Hellman, who has covered the Dallas Cowboys forever, so he's seen Terry McLaurin play his entire career a couple of times a year, and then obviously whatever else he's seen, but he's seen him a bunch. He says, and he writes, to be clear, I'm incredibly confident Terry McLaurin will remain a Commander. That's number one. He's been loyal to that franchise even when times weren't so good. He's done nothing but produce even when he didn't have a star quarterback. He's even held out before as he used this strategy to secure the contract extension in 2022. I really don't think Washington will let him walk when it finally has a chance to contend. I agree with all of that. I think everybody pretty much agrees about that. But again, this was kind of dream scenarios. This was projected trades. This was a way to solve issues by taking the player away from their current situation. So Hellman goes on FoxSports.com to say, hey, I'm dreaming of a perfect landing spot for McLaurin, and Vegas really sounds fun. Talk about a big swing for a team that hasn't had a lot to get excited about. The Raiders are already in decent shape for Geno Smith's first season. Brock Bowers is a star, and Ashton Jeanty should be one soon. Jacoby Myers is a solid receiver, but Vegas still needs to upgrade its receiver room. Rather than take your chances in the draft, why not ship a pick or two to Washington and lock in McLaurin for the rest of his prime? Make fun of me if you want, but a Raider skill group of McLaurin, Bowers, Jeanty, and Myers might be the best in the AFC West. Really interesting. I mean, of course, it takes more than just a couple of picks. You got to pay, again, Terry McLaurin, $33, $34, $35 million, whatever he would want to leave Washington and to go to Vegas and to join that crew, okay, and to leave Jaden Daniels and everything that he's kind of built and worked and sacrificed for, not to mention his very, very, very popular status among Washington Commanders fans. But Vegas is Vegas, right? And you certainly can't rule out any situation. So I can't say that's ridiculous, that's asinine. Again, the author is making it very clear that he doesn't feel like this is going to happen. I don't think any of us feel like it's going to happen. But you can't rule it out, right? Just like you can't rule out other scenarios. Now, in conjunction with this, he lists T.J. Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And once again, he says, again, I'm not buying that the Steelers would do this. Watt is an iconic piece of the franchise, and that word carries weight in Pittsburgh. Furthermore, even with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, the Steelers' hopes of accomplishing anything this season still rest on the defense. And he goes into, kind of describing, hey, like, you know, there's one delusional fantasy, a Terry McLaurin trade, and here could be another. And he said they'd be opening some financial wiggle room to add another lucrative player. They could get at least two, if not three, years of play out of T.J. Watt, before they have to worry about extending Jaden Daniels, because again, he's picking the Commanders in this mock trade, projected trade, disgruntled superstar scenario. And he said they definitely need the pass rush help. I think we'd all agree on that. Watt would give Dan Quinn a blue chip player, which he doesn't really have right now, on the Commanders defense, adding him to a pass rush that currently includes Frankie Louvu, Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Weiss. Cleveland Farrell would upgrade the Washington pass rush from so-so to outright dangerous. He said maybe it's a mixed message to enter the offense by trading McLaurin, only to add T.J. Watt. But with all due respect to Scary Terry, I think it's a bit harder to find a defensive player of the year level edge pass rusher than an all-pro caliber receiver in today's NFL. This is interesting. I wonder what you guys think at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. And I would say this. Hellman is making it very clear that he doesn't think either scenario is realistic and is going to happen. But he's exercising, again, some creativity and some thoughts. I have no problem with this piece, okay? I have no problem with the thought process because he's thinking outside the box. He's being creative. So I commend him for it. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's going to happen either. And I don't think if one or the other happened, I don't see either or being right. I don't see Terry getting traded. And I don't know if I see Terry agreeing to a long-term contract in Vegas, because that's kind of like what you would have to do here, right? I mean, Vegas wouldn't trade whatever assets. Pittsburgh wouldn't trade, or Washington wouldn't trade any assets unless you're basically getting a extension done at the time of the trade. And that's the other complicating factor, is it's not only compensation, it's also a new contract. Right? I mean, I can certainly see Trey Hendrickson going to Charlotte or Carolina. I can certainly see Jalen Ramsey going to Tampa. I can certainly see that. But I don't see either one of these two scenarios. Pretty clear that Hellman doesn't, but he's kind of, again, using it as a talking point, and that's okay. That's fine. It's creative. I liked it. But the bottom line is, if the Commanders said to you, hey, we just had to draw a hard line on Terry. And as much as we love him, we only thought he was worth $30 million a year. But in addition to or in lieu of trading away Terry, we're going to fix arguably our greatest need on the team, on defense, edge, pass rusher. We're going to bring in a surefire future Hall of Famer. And we're going to have one of the fiercest pass rushes that anybody could put together, because as long as TJ Watt is healthy, we know what kind of dominant player he is, and then they have plenty of other supporting cast. Now, you could argue with that, fine. But would you do that? Would you contemplate that? Would you consider that? My answer, and we'll get AMAC's answer coming up next, along with yours, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Terry McLaurin to Vegas, TJ Watt to D.C. And then there's another part of this that came from the weekend that will add to the mix. And then we're going to get into the Nationals and the NBA draft and all that stuff coming up in the back half of the show. Stay with us on a Back to Work Tuesday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Weeks, they've really turned it on.
It's coming against Daniels, though, and he's going to get wrapped up by Parsons again. Micah Parsons had a pair of sacks in the first meeting, and he's already out of the gate. Hot off the blocks with a pair to shut down the Washington drive.
All right, that was from Week 18 in Dallas. People forget Micah Parsons was unbelievable early on in that game, and Jaden Daniels was not. They eventually was pulled at halftime, shut down for the playoffs, and Marcus Mariota did lead a come-from-behind win What did they win in the regular season? 11 or 12? I can't even remember now. Oh my God. It was 12. No, it was 11. I can't remember. I got to double check. I mean, so many things have happened in my brain since then. All right. So the reason why we played the Micah Parsons play-by-play highlight there, coming back of the sack of Jaden Daniels, is because over the weekend, there was this big Fanatics Fest in New York City at the Javits Center. Even though I was in New York, I did not go. I just, Tyler would never be able to handle a situation like that, so there was just no chance that I was going to put him in that situation. Just way too many people, and that is just a really, really, really expensive event. It's far beyond my interest and my capacity to appreciate something like that. Great event, I'm sure. Would have been awesome to be there and see all the buzz and all the excitement. Everybody knows Josh Harris bought a $500,000 trading card for Jaden Daniels. Will be on display, all that stuff. I don't think we need to spend any time on that. But one thing that was interesting that emanated from that was, I believe this was Kay Adams, and she had Kevin Durant, noted Commanders fan. And, of course, he was traded over the weekend to the Houston Rockets. So he's going to Texas. But basically she said, and she noticed, and I don't know if it was like prearranged or whatever, Micah Parsons right there. And she said, oh, well, hey, what do you think about this? And here's how Kevin Durant and Micah Parsons basically answered the question or the topic or the theme that was brought up about potentially Micah Parsons being a Washington Commander. Take a listen.
Which is here. Do you want to recruit him to the Commanders? Yeah. Micah, get on in here.
I think he will be a Commander at some point in his career.
When?
I would say 2 years from now.
Yo, I only rock with Dan Quinn, you know what I mean? Anybody else?
Exactly. That's all he need to rock with.
My neck hurts.
All right, so Micah Parsons, in that little clip with Kay Adams and Kevin Durant, is saying, I only rock with Dan Quinn. I'm not stupid. I ain't saying, yeah, I'd love to play for the Commanders. He's smart, okay? You can say, I only rock with Dan Quinn. I love Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was this, Dan Quinn was that, and get away with it. Should you probably be saying it? Probably not, being that he's the head coach of your division rival, right? So the bottom line is, you probably shouldn't be saying it, but I think you can get away with it if you're Micah Parsons. He is not saying, I want to play for the Commanders. I hope to play for the Commanders. I would love to play for the Commanders or anything like that, because that would be incredibly stupid, right? You just know. So kudos to Micah Parsons for handling that as good as you probably can handle that. Kevin Durant out there, meanwhile, big Commanders fan, as we all know, recruiting for whatever it's worth. To get Micah Parsons here, he says in 2 years. Well, Micah Parsons got 1 year left on his deal. And then you figure, well, he's got a franchise tag year, in all likelihood, if he doesn't get an extension. Okay. Here's the bottom line. If you are going to improve this defense, you need to improve it, if not now, you need to improve it, say, at the trade deadline this year, right? You can't really afford to wait 2 years. And then what if, again, Micah Parsons does sign the contract extension with the Dallas Cowboys? Then, if you were planning on that, you're kind of screwing yourself. So there should be no plan from the Washington Commanders to sign Micah Parsons until they know he's available. He's not available right now. And I can't imagine an in-division trade. I just can't imagine that. So I think I can dismiss that and say, all right, if there's no Myles Garrett, if they don't seem to be interested in paying whatever the bounty is for Trey Hendrickson, even if they sign one of these unrestricted free agent defensive end, pass rush edge, Von Miller, Zadarius Smith, who's the guy that I would like, Preston Smith, so on and so forth, they could still sign him. And could they make a trade for T.J. Watt? Could they make a trade for T.J. Watt? Now, look, T.J. Watt is a great player. I mean, he's just a maniac. He just is, right? I think we all know that. But the one thing that would worry me is when you have to trade for a player of that magnitude, when you have to pay a player probably roughly $40 million a year, because that's what Myles Garrett is getting, and T.J. Watt almost surely, as a 7-time Pro Bowler, a 4-time All-Pro, a Defensive Player of the Year, he just, I can't imagine he wants that much less than what Myles Garrett is getting, right? The problem is he's almost 31. Now, he played 17 games last year, and had 11 and a half sacks. By any measure, that's a pretty good year. But that's down from what he normally is at, right? If you look at T.J. Watt, okay, and he lines up at the left defensive end position, and occasionally he'll move around, but he lines up primarily at the left defensive end position, he would absolutely make the Washington Commanders' pass rush fearsome. But I don't know if it is worth, if you said to me from a cap and from a asset allocation perspective that I would have to trade Terry McLaurin for a couple of draft picks and also have a gigantic need at wide receiver to add then T.J. Watt to kind of redistribute the money and make sure that he's being paid not $32 million, not $34 million, but probably damn near close to $40 million. That is a lot. That is a lot for me. And he did have 19 sacks 2 years ago to lead the NFL. He has played in 34 games in each of the last two, or 17 games in each of the last 2 years. He was hurt for the year before that, only played 10 games. So, I mean, you do have a little bit of concern, a little bit of concern where his body is and where his body is going at the age of 31. But T.J. Watt, the person, the pass rusher, the player, I'm all in on. Paying him $40 million or perhaps more? I don't think I am. I don't think I am. And if that makes me cheap, then I'm okay being cheap. I'm okay being cheap. All right, your calls coming up, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, a quick trending alert. Here we go. We'll do that, and then we will get into also, in addition to what we've already been talking about, we will get into the NBA draft and some Nationals as well over the back half of the show right here on a Tuesday in a steamy Washington, D.C. and beyond on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Yes. All right, let's start with some NFL news. Aaron Rodgers telling the Pat McAfee Show on ESPN earlier today that he's pretty sure this year, his first year, will be his first year, I should say, with the Steelers, will be his final NFL season. Again, not ruling anything out, but he's 41 years old and joining his now third NFL team and didn't commit to the Steelers until a couple of weeks ago. Meanwhile, the NBA draft is tomorrow night. We've already had the Kevin Durant trade late last night. We had the Jrue Holiday trade heading from Boston back to Portland in exchange. Anthony Simmons, who's averaging right around 20 points a game for the last 3 years in relative anonymity up in Portland, and a couple of draft picks coming back to Boston. Of course, some salary cap issues and relief there. Reportedly, Boston might be dangling Kristaps Porzingis as part of a deal. The number one pick tomorrow night, expected, of course, to be Cooper Flagg of the Dallas Mavericks, a move that LeBron James, for whatever reason, his opinion, is worth something on this. He dubbed it amazing. So on his, while he highly praised Flagg, he obviously is taking a little bit of a shot at the situation between Cooper Flagg going to Dallas after Dallas made the trade with Luka Doncic and company. All right, the Nationals, game two of a set in San Diego after a big win last night. James Wood with a three-run home run. The bats breaking out again. And the Nationals have now won 3 out of 5. Tonight, they'll send Trevor Williams to the bump at Petco Park. He'll be opposed by Ryan Burgert of the Padres, who are 42-36. Game action 9:40, 9:10 the pregame. 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app, and that's what's trending. All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us. 20 minutes in front of the top of the hour. We were talking about Micah Parsons, and we played that highlight or that audio from Fanatics Fest and Kay Adams and Kevin Durant earlier. My guy, Double A, I want to call him Austin, Athen, whatever. He's got 14,000 different nicknames. He says, Mike on one side, TJ on another all day. Yeah, okay. And how do you pay anybody else? Right? I mean, clearly we're not going to get a situation where you have Micah Parsons on one side and TJ Watt on another. Could you imagine? Not happening. But going back to what we were talking about earlier, in the show, the top 10 quarterback ranking from Nate Tice. Our guys at Talk Nats, say, think Stroud is too low. He was ranked 10th. Daniels should be anywhere from 4 to 7, and same with CJ Stroud. All right, interesting there. I think that's a little bit too high for CJ Stroud. I do want to see more. Although he did win in his second year a home playoff game, and they won a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, in his rookie year as well, I believe, and then lost up in Baltimore. John weighed in. It's the omission of Hurts for me, meaning Jalen Hurts. Lawrence and Prescott with a scratching face emoji. Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't get Lawrence at all. Dak Prescott, you could make a legitimate argument before the second injury. But that's the reason why I can't put him in my top 10 now, is I do have to factor in availability, and I don't know what Dak Prescott is going to be. I mean, I think he'll be okay, but we don't know, right? As we opened up the show with Tyrese Haliburton, some guys recover, some guys are never the same. And every situation, every injury, every whatever is different. We're going to get into the Nationals win last night, weekend in L.A., and also this controversy that is pouring out of Nats land about the All-Star voting in the 3 o'clock hour. But we also got into the Terry McLaurin, I guess, proposed trade to the Las Vegas Raiders, and as well about T.J. Watt coming here and perhaps a creative way to solve those two contract situations, those two players and their individual plights, and to help out the Commanders, but also helping out the Raiders and other teams involved and so on. So anything you want to talk about that we've covered already certainly is on the table at 301-230-0980. Why don't we get to Sean in Annapolis here before I forget to take him, before I get into my further point about T.J. Watt that I wanted to make. Sean, you are on the Team 980. How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's going on?
I will start by saying T.J. Watt is a fantastic player,
yep.
Great career. Would he help us? Absolutely help us on the defense. Do we need a player like that? Yes. But in my opinion, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul. The whole mm-hmm. point of bringing Deebo Samuels here was to take that coverage off of McLaurin. You added Gallup. You added some weapons there. And you also added the line and protection for Jaden Daniels. All you're doing is taking now that player away from us, McLaurin, and now we have to find another weapon. And it's just, at this point, what it's going to cost to bring in a T.J. Watt just does not make up for the character, the guy that's been our captain, who's gone through the ups and downs of mm-hmm. from Snyder. He's a Redskin. Like, he's literally a Redskin. And, like, this is the guy that is going to take us for the next few years. He's going to get us to the Super Bowl. I think this is a shame that we didn't draft the DN when we could have, if this is what the cost is that we have to get rid of our captain.
Well, so again, let's keep in mind, this is a fantasy mock proposed trade scenario, right? A guy's got to write something. He's got to justify whatever Fox Sports is paying him. So he's coming up with a creative piece. So let's be clear that this is not a legitimate, like, report or anything like that, or anything
right.
credible. It's possible, but again, it's more fantasy. But I totally agree with you. And what you said, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Maybe it's not directly that, but A, you'd be paying more. So you're paying Paul more.
Right.
Okay. And yeah. what you're also doing, and listen, there is no mistake that bringing in a guy like T.J. Watt, a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who's had a brilliant career in Pittsburgh, A, you're factoring in that Pittsburgh would want to get rid of him, number one. Number two, you're basically saying to Terry McLaurin, right, if this was the scenario, and that's why it makes it so unrealistic, is, hey, man, we preached it's all about being a commander. We preached it's all about what it means to be a commander. And even though you skipped out on minicamp, you, meaning Terry McLaurin, there is nobody greater that I could think of, that I think most people could think of, that is a quote-unquote commander, or in the way they describe a commander, right? So if you were to trade him because you can't come to a contract extension a year away from free agency, I think that would be a terrible message. I think that would be a terrible symbol of, yeah, we were just saying that just because it was a good thing to say. Does that make, I mean, that makes sense, right?
I agree. I agree 100% with you.
Yeah. So I don't see it.
It costs too much, and then the scenario,
right.
there's no guarantee at all.
Right.
So you send Terry away, and then you hope you can get TJ in return.
Yeah.
It's not like a three-way deal right here. It's not
yeah.
worked out like that.
Here's a logical solution, and I'll bounce this off of you real quick. Again, as I've been saying, find a way to get the Terry McLaurin deal done, okay? And I understand that's not easier, or that's easier said than done. I get that they could be arguing over term, over money per year. I outlined some of it already today. I've talked about it a number of times. I think Terry probably wants in the 33-34 range. They probably want 30-31, somewhere in that range. Terry might want a fourth year. I don't know. But the bottom line is clearly they don't have a deal done. But here's the one thing that I would say is, Is it a better situation for you to maybe slightly overpay Terry and reward what you've been preaching and the fabric, if you will, of not only the offense but of the building for the last 7 years? Is it better to do that and reward somebody like Terry as opposed to paying someone who, granted, might be a Hall of Famer? And again, we're using the T.J. Watt example here, but you don't know T.J. Watt. You don't know what he's going to mean or not mean to this fan base. You don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy, at least with Terry. While you don't know some of the issues, the questions, is he going to be able to stay healthy, productive? You know the person. You know him inside and out, and that has to factor in here when it comes to just purely paying Terry. You know the person inside and out. You already do. And others that have been here longer than you absolutely do if you have any questions. Meaning if you're Adam Peters or Dan Quinn.
Yeah, you've already publicized what the definition of a commander is. And if you look it up, you'll see a picture of Terry McLaurin in that dictionary.
I agree.
But 100%, I think you go out, you find the next Dante Fowler, you find that maybe it's Za'Darius Smith or bring back Preston. Whatever you have to do at that position out there, you've already beefed up the secondary, and you keep building the way we have.
I agree.
And that's where I'm at.
Totally with you. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate the phone call. Make sure you check back in again, Sean in Annapolis. That's the thing that I think I forgot to add in that little spiel is, again, I make no mistake about it. I'm a Za'Darius Smith guy. I like him out of the free agent more than Preston Smith, more than Von Miller, more than who's the fourth guy out there? I'm trying to remember. I'd much rather take that route. I'd rather slightly overpay. Slightly could be a term that could be disputed. I'd rather slightly overpay Terry and try and get away with a situation where you get value at edge. And maybe that costs you a year from now. I don't know. Maybe you have to figure out something else. I'd rather do it that way than the way this article, which we're using as, again, kind of the genesis, if you will, of the discussion. I'd rather do it that way. We'll take a quick time out. We're going to start getting into the NBA draft because we promised that, and the Nationals in the final hour plus of the radio program here on this Tuesday. Good to have you with us. It is Chris Russell with you on the Team 980, and we're always live and free and on demand on the Odyssey app and as well wherever you get your podcasts. All right, good to have you with us as we approach 3 o'clock at the end of hour number two. Still a lot to go. We got to get some Nat stuff in. We got to get some NBA draft stuff in. We'll be heavy on the NBA draft tomorrow as all the rumors continue to pile in. But I wanted to just kind of turn the page just a little bit and just ask you guys and throw out this philosophy type question, how you feel kind of thing. 28 hours or so, 29 hours or so before the NBA draft, before the Wizards right now are on the clock at number 6 and 18. Would you be disappointed? Would you be mad? Would you be frustrated if the new Wizards regime, or the still somewhat new Wizards regime, Will Dawkins, Michael Wenger, if they took for the third year in a row, a player in the top 10 that was most noted for their defense. Meaning, if a player is taken at number 6, regardless of how the board shakes out, that would be the third year in a row. If we go back to Bilal Coulibaly, and then Alex Sarr, both were drafted for their defensive prowess, their defensive potential high end, and their athletic upside and their offensive upside. But they were not, clearly not, finished offensive projects or players or talent. They were drafted more for their potential on offense and what they were athletically and defensively coming out. Would you be disappointed? Would you be frustrated by that? I'll give you my answer on the other side and some potential reasons why I think that is in play and why I think that is a possibility on the other side of 3 o'clock in the nation's capital and beyond. On the Team 980, on the Odyssey app, theteam980.com, wherever you get your podcast, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. That's the number for you to hop aboard. Would you be disappointed if the Wizards, for a third year in a row in the top 10, take a player known more for their defense than for their offense, be it potential upside or credible, displayed skill already, either in the college game or internationally? Would you be upset if that's the core philosophy for the Washington Wizards for a third year in a row? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Hey, Mac, I'll be right back, okay?